The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul.
It sure does.
Good morning, everybody. This is Terry Raposa and Wynn Carpenter in our continuing soiree here on,
good morning.
On Jefferson City of the Mine, and we're here with Liam. That was him who said good morning. He didn't wait for me to introduce him.
So eager.
He never knew. He does not need to wait.
No, he doesn't need to wait. Anyway, we're here and excited about today. We've got some good things to go over. There's a lot of things to talk about. And we are broadcasting live from downtown Reading, KCNR.
1460.
AM.
AM, yeah.
And 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better when it works.
When it works. Sometimes it has an issue or two, but that's all right. But it hasn't for a while, so that's good.
And we're streaming live on KCNR1460.com and archiving forever.
And ever.
And ever.
Amen.
So, anyway, one of the things we want to bring up, we like to do from time to time here on this show, because they do this a lot at city council meetings and board meetings and all that good stuff. They have the employee of the month for the county, you know, or the city or whatever, or the employee of the week or the employee of the year or whatever. And I think that's great and it's fine. I mean, people, you know, people should be doing their job anyway, but they seem to really like to recognize people a lot. So we like to recognize citizens. And one of the citizens I'd like to recognize is Jennifer McDaniel. She's the manager of Tri-County's Bank in Anderson. And she's been with that bank, I think, since she was 18 years old. So she's been there for a while. And she's an amazing bank manager. The way she handles it with poise. When I talk to her, if any of you have ever seen MASH, you'll notice that there's Radar in the Colonel. Mm-hmm. And Radar always knows what the Colonel's going to say ahead of time and has an answer for it.
Yep.
And that's the way I feel with Jennifer.
All right.
She's brilliant, and she's great to work with. Wonderful person. Great people down there. Tellers are great. Anyway, that's Tri-County Bank, and hats off to Jennifer McDaniel. So amen. I want to get that out of the way.
All right.
Also, before we get into something, we'll get into a little. I guess we get into a little bit of what happened last night. When how did we do at the Second Amendment fundraiser for reestablishing our Second Amendment right here in California?
Well, the room was packed. Every table, chair, seat was spoken for. We had to pull extra chairs out from under the stage because bodies kept coming through the door, which was phenomenal. That was awesome, and hats off to every patriot that showed up and contributed and just was there in the presence of what was going on. Thank you all from the bottom of our heart, and we truly appreciate your commitment to showing up and to being there. And that was great. It was fun. It was entertaining. There was a lot of laughter going on throughout the room and various stages of the event. And especially during the auction and so forth, there were some entertaining factors going on there as well. And we did pretty well financially. We, like I said, we sold every single spot there. We, meaning you kicking butt, you with the team that you ran, getting that done, getting all those tables sold. That was awesome. And it was sold out before the event occurred, which was great. There were additional sales that were made during the day, right up to the minute. And it was happening. It was very good. And so we just made room. You know, we always make room. We always make room for people that want to show up and participate. So that's what happened. And did quite well on the auction and the ticket sales. And it was good. It was very good.
When do you think we'll have a tabulation of what we actually accomplished there?
I'm not really sure. We'd have to talk to Linda and Mark about that as far as what all the particulars they have behind the scenes as well. So I'm not sure.
And anyway, while you're listening to that portion of our program, we'd like to, if you have the heart to donate, this is going to go to a legal fund to restore the Second Amendment rights. Isn't that something, restoring rights? How can you even say that? I mean, but that's what we have to do.
Basically, we're polishing off the rights that we already own.
Exactly.
We're dusting them off.
Anyway, if you want to send a donation to that, you send it to Pecan, P-E-C-A-N. And you write in the memo portion 2A. You need to write in the memo portion 2A. And you can send that to Pecan, 14421 Old Oregon Trail, Suite B as in boy, Redding, California, 96003. Again, make your check payable to Pecan, P-E-C-A-N, just like the nut. And write in the memo portion 2A and mail it to Pecan, 14421 Old Oregon Trail, Suite B, Redding, California.
Hey, also I want to put out a challenge to the other, 23 counties in Jefferson and the other 57 counties in the state of California, or total for 57 states or counties in the state. Let's step it up. We've got this going here. Let's not lose the momentum. And it's not hard to do. And it's not rocket science. And if people want to contribute, it, like Terry just mentioned, mailing checks in, that's great. We totally accept all that. If you want to have fundraisers in your community, in your county, we're happy to help with that. We've got a well-oiled machine as far as the team of people that put these things together. We've got it dialed. So we're willing to sit down and talk to you, figure it out, give you direction. If you want to just host it yourself and do it yourself, that's okay. But we have a lot of tricks that work and work well that you're being more efficient with your time, your effort, and your energy when you're putting these things together. So we have it dialed. So if you're wanting to do something like that, you know, we're willing to help. So just reach out to us, and we'll get you dialed in on that.
Yeah, and if you have a question or a comment as we go on our program, the phone number here is 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. Well, folks, we have an assembly race coming up, and I wanted to touch on that a little bit because when we look at the California Assembly, I think it's like 63 Democrats and 17 Republicans out of the 80 Assembly people. Now, I'm not really sure that that's going to put us in any kind of position on the Republican side to really do anything. We have had Republican candidates that have won in District 1. That's the district wall in up here. And Megan Daly, frankly, didn't do anything. I mean, she ran on a position, a platform, of that she wanted to help the schools, and nothing got done. And as we've read on the show, and you've probably heard, if you've watched anything on Mountaintop Media, especially the last two episodes on Mountaintop Media, with Arthur Gorman, Katie Gorman, and Leslie Savanovich, we talked about what was going on with the particular schools, the school boards, and they talked about their new organization or their new branch of an organization, mm-hmm. Moms for Liberty. And we went back all the way to 1999 to Assembly Bill 537 and went to 2011 with Assembly Bill, Senate Bill, 48. And we went during that period of time to talk about all the egregious laws. Now, these are laws. These are not mandates. These are laws, Senate bills that passed and Assembly bills that passed into law. And they are highly unconstitutional, to say the least. They're just flat out unconstitutional. Now, Megan Daly could go in with the excuse that, well, I never did anything. By the way, she's running for Senate for District 1, that she couldn't do anything, but she never even tried to get a referendum on any of these heinous laws. I mean, for example, 2010, SB 543 allows school staff to remove children aged 12 and older from government schools and take them off campus for counseling sessions without parental permission.
Again, that's kidnapping.
You think?
Yep.
SB 48 in 2011, get this, mandates that children in grades K through 12 in all instruction in social sciences, admire the role and contribution of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender Americans. California public schools must, yes, I said must, implement the requirements through supplemental materials, i.e. handouts, homosexual biographies, classroom discussions, essays, other homework, outside speakers, including drag queen story time, videos, dramas, etc. So, seriously, these are laws that are passing. There's several more that are on the books right now that I read this morning. There's several more that are egregious and taking the rights away from parents. There are lawsuits, et cetera, et cetera. But all this stuff is going on, and I haven't heard a peep out of Megyn Dalley. You know, and so I go back to the assembly. We have several people running here in Shasta County. We have Mark Mazzano. Mm-hmm. He's running. Melissa Hunt's running.
Mm-hmm.
Audette.
Tanessa Audette.
Tanessa Audette's running. And there's one other lady, and I forgot her name, and I apologize. Maybe somebody can call in or get on the chat room and tell us who it is. But there's one other person who is running for assembly. And that's only one county. You know, we have Butte County, parts of it. We have Lassen County, Modoc County, Nevada County, Placer County, Sierra County, Siskiyou County. There'll be other candidates from there. In fact, I was wondering if Kurt Euler, who used to be a supervisor in Placer County, had a lot of notoriety during the COVID situation, in that he was one of the supervisors who led the charge saying, hey, we're not going to comply with this state of emergency.
Mm-hmm.
Using the law saying that a state of emergency can only be declared when all the resources are overwhelmed and exhausted and they're overrun by whatever the threat is. And that was never the case with COVID, ever.
Right.
So, I mean, he may be running. There'll probably be somebody from Lassen County running. There's probably a whole bunch of people running, but what are they going to do? See, that's the whole, I think I'll run. What do you think, buddy? You can be my campaign manager. I'm going to run.
No, that would be a job from hell. I'm sorry.
No. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go down there and I'm going to bitch every day about what's going on with the schools. And I'm going to read these laws every day. And I'm going to stand up there and I'm going to go to the people. Because what has to happen is you have to go to the people.
Yep.
Okay, and it isn't a matter of getting everybody to agree or get along. Because everybody isn't going to get along and they aren't going to agree. Let's get over that. Okay, just get over that.
Yep.
So you go down there and you complain. You fight. You say no. You do whatever you can. You protest. And I'm tired of hearing, we shall not comply. Complying is complying with something. How about we shall not submit?
Right.
We don't submit to authority. We don't submit to totalitarianism. We don't submit to laws that harm our children.
That's right.
We do not submit. And that's what we have to start doing. And that's whoever wins that thing down there should go down and do every day. To hell with going inside there and talking to 63 people who don't care about what you want. And the other 17 are kind of just worried about their own position. Or if they're going to leave like Ted Gaines did with 12 houses instead of 10.
Palms greased.
You know, you need, the people need to stand up on this thing. And, I hope that the people who run for assembly, I mean, that's all they really can do. I mean, let's get real about this. I mean, do you really think, as well-intentioned as those people are, that they can actually get out there and do something in the assembly? Well, we have to try. Really? Like Megyn Dalley did? We have to try doing what? You stand on the steps and you talk to the people. You do nothing but talk to the people.
Yeah.
You do nothing but get the people behind you. And you do not submit.
That's right.
How many people out there are tired of submitting to totalitarian governments in states and legislative bodies that break the law every day? Break the law every day.
And how many times do our elected officials go out, say the state positions, you know, assembly and senate and so forth, how many times do they ever go out and actually speak to the people via radio or TV and talk about the issues? Not about these one or two off things, you know, here and there, the special interest things. We're talking about the real issues, like all these stupid laws that we have on the books that are restricting parents' rights and talking about what we're doing to the kids. Are you kidding? If you haven't seen that list yet, you really need to get your eyes on it because it's vulgar from start to finish. And it started in 1999, and the last one that was updated was 2011. And they're all heinous, every single one of them. So why are not our elected officials taking this list and, like Terry said, standing out on the steps and reading these laws that were passed? And we need to mention every single name that voted for this to happen, whether it's Assembly or Senate bill for California. Every single name that endorsed this and whoever signed off on it, their names need to be out there proudly attached to each and every one of these heinous laws.
Why didn't Megyn Dalley just try to get a referendum going? Oh, I couldn't get it through committee. Who cares? Get the referendum out to the people. Get the go to the people. And, you know, okay, well, we have different viewpoints. Do we really?
No.
Do it. Talk to the mama bears. Moms for Liberty.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yay.
Absolutely.
Darn right. You know, and I'm tired of men that aren't standing up.
They're
but
standing
I think by. That the men that are standing behind the women are very special. And I met one last night.
Yeah.
A husband who's out there, he's working. His wife's a school board, a brand new school board member who has a voice, who's tough. And this man does the work, gets out there. When she has to go do this stuff, he's there behind her. He's doing what he needs to do.
Yep.
That's being a man. Going up and standing up is being a man. How could a dad, and there's a lot of good ones, not read these laws and hear these laws? And they were read. These 10 laws were read at the last Shasta County Board of Education meeting,
mm-hmm.
and they were read by three ladies that took turns reading them. And I mean, I can't believe this is law, folks. This isn't mandates. It's law. It's illegal law. It violates everything. It violates Article 3, Section 1 of the California Constitution, which specifically states California is an inseparable part of the United States, and that the Constitution of the United States is the supreme law of the land, and California totally abides by, agrees with that, and is inseparable from that. That means if it's not in the Constitution of the United States, then, and not that it's not in it, but if it doesn't comply with it, if it doesn't adhere to it, then there is a situation to where it is not legal. It can be law, but not legal. And that's what happens with some of these. I mean, the 14th Amendment, the First Amendment, the Fourth Amendment. All these laws that we read violates that. And here's something that's a little caveat for you. And I got this from Mark Baird, who I think is a genius. His wife would disagree with that, but I think he is. Anyway, if you look even Supreme Court cases, we had a situation where we had a resolution go in front of the Board of Supervisors, and our attorney, Mr. Cruz, who I think is cruising off here soon, isn't he? He's going on a different cruise.
No, different cruise.
Yeah, well, we're glad he's cruising. Anyway, he was using court cases and court, quote, rulings to establish his position and his opposition to some of the things that were written in the resolution. Now, it's funny because when you have an Article 3 court, which is, who is the Article 3 court? That's the Supreme Court.
Hmm.
The Supreme Court gives an opinion, then all of a sudden it's adopted, then all of a sudden, hey, what they says, go.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have a Second Amendment case, and how does that fit into what's going on with the kids? Well, it's Heller v. D.C. established the next text, the text as informed by history and tradition. That means that that's exactly what was meant in the Second Amendment. They meant what they said. Method of judicial examination of enumerated rights. Heller rejects California's two-step tripartite interest-balancing approach to the Second Amendment cases. In other words, and this is good because this applies to even more than the Second Amendment, it is never more important that the government takes your rights in the interest of public safety than retaining your rights. Does that have to do with something like COVID?
Yeah.
Hmm. You see, because it may be on a certain subject, it still established the clarity of the right. And it's never, ever, 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 ever the government's right to take your rights in the interest of public safety if they're absolutely obstructing your constitutionally protected rights.
Amen.
What about these parents?
Yeah.
What about these parents? I talked to Nella Johnson last night and Pat Santangelo, two wonderful, wonderful ladies. Love them dearly. They came up with this list, and they're just like a couple of, I'm not going to call them bulldogs. They're both way, way too attractive to be bulldogs. But we'll call them
aggressive mama bears.
Aggressive mama bears.
That know how to do it nicely with a smile.
And you got to love them for standing up for this. You've got to love these people who are standing up.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Megan Daly, where are you? Well, frankly, what about some of these other people? I mean, Mark Bazzano doesn't even know how to handle parking in Reading. I mean, seriously? I mean, you have got people who are running for office, and you're right. I'm complaining about them. Yeah, you know, I'm complaining about. Hey, there are many people in this town. I'm sitting next to one that have been on the steps of the Capitol and called the governor out for what he is. Have called those people out for what they are. Have spent money. Have went down there. Have fought against tyranny. But we're not going to win anything until we get people who run for office that understand even being in the chambers doesn't change anything.
Right.
How can you change it? Why would they change? Why would anybody in that assembly change their position? Unless it does what? Benefits them.
Benefits them, or they feel the pain. They have to feel the pain of, oh, I don't know, maybe their contributors or donors or the people that are their puppet masters start feeling the pain. So that's when you find out who is contributing to their campaigns, and then you make note of that, and you contact those soldiers, or those souls, and you talk to them, and you let them know that where they stand with the public. And that, you know, you can put all that information out there. I mean, not that you're going to do anything illegal or heinous or wrong. You're just going to make sure that people are aware of their business, because most of these people that donate have big businesses or have businesses in general. So you make sure that they're fully aware of what's going on there. I mean, how can we fight this fight with on an even playing field? We can't. We are the ones that are being victimized, if you will. I mean, I hate to use that word, but that's what's happening, because we are being victimized by these small group of people that are either billionaires or whatever, and they're the ones that are pulling the strings. They're the ones that are making all this stuff happen. And for people to go down there and to drink the Kool-Aid is obscene. And for them to comply, that's what they are doing. They are complying, and they are submitting to that tyranny when they're elected into these positions, and then they leave us behind by not taking action on our behalf. And they're not representing us. And so their failure to represent means that they need to be voted out. And in some cases, recalled. And we've done that successfully here. So we need to make sure that those people that do not represent the will of the people that they are supposed to be supporting and representing, and if they fail to do that, take them out of office.
And they're going after your kids and grandkids.
Especially when they go after your kids and grandkids.
You know, I mean, I think that, you know, we have a lot of people that are out there now that are saying, hey, well, what can we do? Well, first of all, anybody who gets elected into office needs to be standing on the street. I'm tired of hearing politicians, whether they be local or whether they be state or whether they be federal, with platitudes. Mm-hmm. We need more people engaged in the conversation. We need to have discussion on this. We need to bring two sides together. We need to find common ground. We need to make sure that our constituents, all of them, are represented. What we need to do is to take the BS out of it, go to the core, and find a couple of things we need to attack. I mean, we've talked about homeless. Okay, there's a lot of different things we can do. You know, I don't hear solutions. Here's one solution, the jail. Oh, guess what? That's happening, isn't it? What does that do? That takes a lot of people off the street that are on the street now doing what? Dealing drugs. Now, we know, and you've heard this 100 times, 80%+ of the people that are homeless, according to national statistics, are on drugs. Not all of them, but about 80%. That sort of helps. If the drugs are harder to get, you can't get them off the street, then maybe that'll reduce some of the mindset of some of these people. And then again, you have to separate the people who are on the street because of mental situations, or they are on the street because of hard times, or they're on the streets because they like it and they're criminals. So once you take those positions and you do that, well, again, the jail, you get rid of that particular situation. You know, there was a comment made on a radio program this morning about how Anderson's pretty much cleaned up everything. How'd they do that, Wynn? How'd they do that? How'd they clean up the homeless pretty much?
Well, they put in processes and policies that, you know, like there's no camping allowed within the city. So if people are sleeping on the park bench, they get tapped on the shoulder. And depending on what's going on there, then the law enforcement can bring them up to Reading to the and book them in to the jail if that's the case. I mean, if it goes that far. But they don't allow some of this stuff.
I saw a person,
that's my understanding. Anyway.
Yeah, I saw a person pooping in front of the Reading Police Department the other day.
Nice.
There we go.
Nice.
Bombs away. You know, seriously. You know, and we're sitting here and we're talking about, you know, we're talking about, well, we need to come together. We need to have a discussion. We need to talk the other side. BS. If you can't see this in front of you, if you can't, there's going to be people who are going to be divided. That's always going to happen. It is the level and the degree in which that division goes that's important.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that we have different opinions. And it's okay. But it's not okay when it hurts people.
Well, the analogy to the in the movie A Bug's Life, right? Where, you know, when the grasshoppers realize that all the ants can come after them because there are more of them than there are of them, right? So if coming together to fight for all these things that we've been talking about puts a pressure on the few that are elected, then by golly, we need to step up and do it. And we need to take action immediately. And we needed to take action years ago and not allow this garbage to be happening to all of us.
And I would say if they're trying to hurt our children, that crosses party lines. It crosses every line, brother. You're right. Well, with that, we're going to have to go to our break. And Liam's been very patient. I can always tell him he's patient because he's nodding his head and smiling. Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
Don't try and take my guns away. You'll wish you hadn't, you'll be sorry. The worst mistake you'll ever make. Don't try and take my guns away.
You think today. Here's a little jingle from the Thule Kids.
You can play it, you can pause it, you can skip it, you can stop it with a hop. When the hopper takes over your commercial, I'll hop with the hop. Where the apps are the coolest and the music is the smoothest with the hop.
Thank you for calling B&T Satellite at 241-3474. That's 241-DISH. Hi, this is Doug Tooley. Are you missing Newsmax? Call me because I make TV easy and I can get it back for you. My phone number is 241-3474. In case you didn't hear that, that's 530-241-3474. Or visit us at 1007 Dana Drive, Redding, California. Check us out on the internet at btsatellite.com. Shasta County's only DISH Premier retailer. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Land and fought to keep it free. They knew we had to do what it took to keep our family safe. Now you wanna throw it all away, yeah. Buddy, if you try to take my rights, you're in for one hell of a fight. When it comes to my constitution, I'm a true believer. Come to my house, I'll tell you right now, I'll give you my gun. From my cold dead hands.
Sally Lou. My little sweet Sally Lou.
I like that one.
Oh, man. That's hilarious. Back here at the continuing soiree we have here at Jefferson State of Mine.
Mine.
That's
mine.
M-I-N-E, like mine.
Mine.
Broadcasting live, 96.5 FM, where the music sounds better, 1460 AM, your talk radio. And we're streaming live on KCNR1460.com. If you have a question or a comment.
And they're archived forever.
Oh, they are archived forever and ever.
Yeah, all our
I forgot
archived.
That part.
Yeah, we got like 10 years of shows
archived.
Short-term archived.
Memory.
Yeah,
what's your name again?
Yep, yep.
Squirrel. If you have a question or a comment, area code 530-605-4567, 605-4567. Yes, the Second Amendment. Why is the Second Amendment the only right that we have to get permission for?
That's a damn good question.
You think?
Yeah.
And why is it that our sheriff says he fully believes in the Second Amendment,
except
he will never allow an exposed weapon? Well, how do you use allow and write in the same sentence?
So everything he said before he put the comma in there and said what his restrictions are was BS. Anybody that says that, it's BS. So they're lying to you in that first part of their comment.
And here's the big problem. The big problem is that, well, I follow the law. I heard that this morning. Well, it has to be lawful. I believe in the rule of law. Well, the rule of law, if you're not, if you really know the rule of law and you have ever been to court, and I think my partner here and I could say we've been in a hell of a lot in court.
Yeah.
Through several cases, federal cases, the most current being Baird versus Bonta.
Mm-hmm.
And we are there. We're in there. We talked to the legal team. In fact, when we were with the CFR, Californians for Fair Representation, which some people call the Jefferson case. It wasn't the Jefferson case.
It was not Jefferson case.
It was the California case. Most of our plaintiffs were from the Bay Area.
For all of California.
Yes. And it was to expand representation so that even San Francisco had more.
That's right.
So the point is that it didn't really matter there. However, when we were in court for that, we understood the fact that when you want something and you want to fight for something and you're fighting for something that is lawful, the law is the Constitution of the United States, bottom line. And the Article 3, this for you folks in the Constitution, Article 3 in the United States Constitution talks about the court system. Who is the number one court in the land? The Supreme Court. So when you hear about the Article 3 court, that's who you're hearing about. And if the Article 3 court comes up with a situation that's adopted, then guess what?
What?
That means that it is now law and constitutional.
Yes.
Anyway, you know, we have a lot of people who are so misinformed on that stuff. The rule of law doesn't mean that bad law is law.
Well, and the funny thing is, too, that they these laws come out and they're being thwarted out there by attorneys. And then our representatives who get elected into these positions or bureaucrats that are in these positions push all this crap through, and not one of them took a constitutional class for the studies of the Constitution, including the attorneys or especially the attorneys. They don't study that any longer in law school. They haven't for years. They do not study the Constitution. They study court cases and precedent.
Yes.
That's what they study. They memorize the precedent of one court case, which they hang their hat on for all the future court cases that come near or close to that. They don't use the Constitution as the guiding light, as the end-all, be-all for comparing whatever the situation may be that's before them. They use precedent, and the precedent is always off. It's not near what the Constitution says, and therefore, it's not right.
And there's protections, Article 3, Section 1. California Constitution and the Ten Amendments, of course, in the Constitution of the United States. Siskiyou Steve, how are you, buddy? You getting snowed on up there?
No, we're pretty clear right now. But,
okay. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to give you guys, you said, you know, how well organized last night was, and I really want to make comment about, you know, the organization was, you know, really, really well. The way they moved that thing right along, the fundraiser, and my, you know, hands off to Patrick Jones' wife. She really made that thing. You know, she was an authority up there, which I thought worked really well. She's a kind of a new player in what I've observed in your fundraisers and stuff.
No. She's been there the entire time.
She was the original. She was the original person in the fundraiser.
Yeah.
She was the one who was helping everybody. Yeah.
As far as being such a player in, I mean, I know she's always been in the background, but
she's always on the stage.
You know.
She's always on the stage behind Chris at every event.
Okay. Well, I've only been to a couple of them.
Right.
Them maybe.
Yeah.
And I just observed a very, very organized, well, you know, played event.
Appreciate that.
And the food. The food was amazing.
Great.
It was so good. Yeah.
Great.
And so anyway, the thing that what I'm learning more about more and more every day is where our forefathers came from and what it took to put the Constitution together and how it all came through the Bible. And not that I'm a big Christian person, but I'm definitely a higher power, whatever you want to call it, and I believe and I have much faith and I can really feel the passion and the hurt that the forefathers went through in putting it together and what they had to do to bring it to fruition. And then the colonists, what they had to do to fight to keep
it
and to fight off the British and the Indians and the starvation and the weather and everything else. And, you know, I didn't have time to study that stuff when I was working and, you know, trying to raise kids, raise family, keep my mortgage paid and everything else. I had no time.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I'm older, unfortunately, you know, I have time to sit and read and learn where our country came from.
I think that's why I'm so encouraged about the young people here, including Liam, who's, how old are you, Liam?
19.
A lot of young people here in Shasta County, as you saw last night, there's a lot of young couples. And I mean, you know, there's couples, a lot of them between the ages of 30 and 40, that are engaged now, and they understand this stuff, and they go to the Constitution. And, thankfully they're listening to programs like this one and Sovereign Minds, and they're going to Mountaintop Media, and they're watching Patriot State of Mind and all that good stuff. So there's a lot of good things happening there. And I think that, it's great, that young people are really starting to get a notion of what's going on. I was pretty excited about being packed out. I think if we would have sold one more table, though, I think I would have been.
You would have been in trouble. You would have been in trouble.
Lori would have killed me.
She
would have. Yeah, but I think that, we had a good event. And, you got anything else, Steve? We're going to get on some things
well,
in a second.
The morals, the integrity, the values. Tradition, you know, it all comes through Christianity, through the Bible, through faith, through love, and that's what we really have to get across. The people need to get into the behavioral health boards besides the school boards and start putting a foot forward on I have the boards up here, they all recognize that the welfare system doesn't work. It's gotten worse. But what are they going to do about it? Well, Trump laid it out in his speech to C-SPAC last week. And, oh, by the way, you know, that's a really big play with Michael Lindell is going to back Chris up and Patrick Jones up with the resolution that you're
No. That's not it.
That's not it.
No. What he is going to do is if we have an issue with Dominion, or we have an issue with the state when it comes to the machines and hand counting and all that stuff, Mike Lindell has offered to help Shasta County in a way to where he can have attorneys and all that. That's got nothing to do with the resolution.
Right, but you guys were, he brought that up in his speech, Shasta County, the Dominion machines, and he was going to help. That is so huge. You guys are doing such a great job down there.
Thank you, buddy.
And then Trump, he laid it out
what
he's going to do with the homeless as far as these big tents and little communities and put them in there and then start, you know, weeding them out. You, okay, you want help? Here you go. You don't want help? You go down out into the mountains. There you go. You're not going to be allowed here any longer. And, you know, that's what I'm going to start doing up here.
Okay.
Is, you know, I'm trying to get on the board
right.
of the behavioral health. And
okay.
we're going to start weeding this thing out.
Great.
So, anyway, just wanted to give you guys kudos again for that thing. So if any other counties are listening, like you said, you do have a team that can put it together to make it work.
Yep.
That was a great event last night. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming,
Thanks
Steve.
For the call.
Okay.
Thanks for participating.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You know, we've got there's something else. I want to read another court case. I read the one of Heller v. D.C., but I want to read Catano v. Massachusetts. Now, this is a court case that happened for the Second Amendment in which the of course, the Supreme Court's opinion was in the favor of the Constitution. And what it really boils down to, of course, I won't read the whole case, but Mark Baird was kind enough to give us a paragraph on each one and help us break it down. The right to carry exists outside the home. Jamie Catano was homeless, and therefore everywhere she carried was in a public arena. Catano established that any weapon commonly owned by lawful individuals for lawful purposes is protected by the Second Amendment. Dangerous and unusual weapons are not protected. All weapons are dangerous, but if a weapon is commonly owned, like a firearm, it cannot possibly be unusual. Finally, Catano cites states may not debar their citizens the use of arms because states are more often interested in disarming people than they are in keeping people safe. Now, when you have a Supreme Court case, I'm going to read that again, folks. I'm going to read that again. Catano cites states may not debar their citizens the use of arms because the states are more often interested in disarming people than they are keeping people by keeping people safe. I mean, seriously? And this is stuff that people really need to know. McDonald versus Chicago. Bans on carry are unconstitutional. End of sentence. Bans on carry are unconstitutional. These are all new laws. That was 2010. So these are all newer laws which haven't been put in to resolutions to back them up. And they should be.
Mm-hmm.
Most importantly, this case fully incorporated the Second Amendment as authority over the states through the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. The Second Amendment also applies to the states as well as the feds. And a sentence. Full stop. In other words, that's it. So when you have something that in the plain text that is fully incorporated over the states because it has the protection of the 14th Amendment. So it has a right protection, which means California can't do that stuff because of McDonald v. Chicago Article 3 Supreme Court decision. And that's the deal. So it can't be banned. It can't because it violates the 14th Amendment, equal protection. You know, and there's just so much stuff here. You know, when you stop and think, and it's like the Bruin case, okay? If the conduct of the individual complies with the plain text of the Second Amendment, the conduct presumably is constitutional. Or presumptively, excuse me, not presumably, presumptively constitutional. The burden then falls completely upon the government to prove that the regulation of government defense was widely held and accepted in 1791. When the Second Amendment was ratified. Okay, and I'm going to read something else here that really brings that portion home. And that is okay, whereas in the United States Supreme Court in New York State Rifle and Pistol Association v. Bruin declares that the Second Amendment protects conduct which complies with the plain text of the amendment as the founders understood the language of the day, which means what was said, when it was said, how it was said is what it is. And Webster's 1828 dictionary defines keep to hold or retain in one's possession. And the Webster Dictionary, 1828, defines bear: to carry, to convey, to support, to remove from place to place. And the Webster defines infringed as broken, violated, transgressed, which is everything that every law in California has done to our Second Amendment. And the Webster defines right as conformity to the will of God or his law, the perfect standard of truth and justice. That's Supreme Court. That's real stuff. That isn't something that's talking about, you know, who can do what. That is real stuff. And when you have something like that, and you have it to where in the Bruin case, as I'll continue with that, as I said, to recap that, the burden then falls upon the government to prove that the regulation the government defends was widely held and accepted in 1791 when the Second Amendment was ratified. When history conflicts with plain text, like I just read, the text rules. So there's no way. That's why Bruin was such a kick butt ruling. It's amazing. History after the founding can only be used when it confirms the plain text. Again, that's a statement. That is what the court said. That is law. 20th century rules and regulations are no bearing upon the Second Amendment. They're of no bearing. The Second Amendment is not a second-class right subject to the different set of rules than the other enumerated rights. States may not use interest balancing. Remember that word, interest balancing. The Second Amendment is the product of interest balancing of the people vis the government who would take our liberty. A right subject to future legislators, judges, opinions is no right at all. It is no right when they take your constitutional right away from you. We can't let them do it. Let's go back to Megan Daly. Why didn't she at least just stand up on the steps and say, these laws are terrible. We have to protect our children. Did anybody ever hear that? If you did, call 605-4567, 530-605-4567. Set us straight. Most importantly, the second and individual right to wear, bear, or carry any instrument capable of offense or defensive use in public in the event of conflict with another person. That is your right. Finally, the government has no duty to protect. Policemen do not have to protect you. It is, in fact, there's many parts of the penal code, I don't remember the exact numbers of Mark, I want to say 835, 842 in there. They really don't have to protect you. And how can they be expected to? Because then they could get sued, blah, 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 blah. But then you have qualified immunity, and I won't get into all that sort of stuff. It is our duty to protect ourselves both from criminal threats and from tyranny. And remember, when the Second Amendment was ratified, it wasn't because they were afraid of the criminals or they were afraid of the deer or they thought that maybe the squirrels were going to have a coup and take over the government. We had just lost a situation to where we understood that as we lost this freedom we had, even as Englishmen, we understood we needed to regain that, and therefore we had a revolution. We regained the rights that we had lost. We regained what was rightfully ours. And the fact is, we were trying to protect ourselves with the Second Amendment and with this Constitution from tyranny from a government that would turn on us and do what England did. We need people who are going to get elected that are going to stand up. So, I hope that,
In every position.
In every position. So, you know, if you're running for assembly in District 1, yeah, Shasta County has the most votes. We had 90,000 in 2020. Nevada was second with 64,000. Then you had Placer County, 33,000 votes that were counted. And so when you look at those particular statistics,
mm-hmm.
What are they doing? If there's anybody concerned, what are they doing? You need to stand up. But there has to be more than, I'm going to go in there and what? Shake hands across the aisle with people who don't care and don't want to give up power? What am I going to do?
Yeah.
You're going to stand on the steps. You're going to go to the people. How did Donald Trump win?
Talk to the people.
Yep. Like him or not.
That's what he did. He engaged the public.
I mean, is anybody else sick of this crap?
Uh-huh.
Is anybody else sick of this crap?
We all are.
So the point is that different viewpoints, you know, with common sense, great. But, you know, as long as you're going to sit there and you're going to stump and you're going to stand in front of a, you know, in front of a legislative body and you're an elected official and you're going to try to get things done in a conventional way, hell, you're not going to get anything done.
Nothing's going to work. You're just wasting your time.
And don't waste my time by asking me for money.
Right. Or your vote.
Or my
vote, yeah.
You know, I mean, most people for the assembly are going to vote for the person that they think is the nicest. What the hell?
Yeah.
I mean, who are you going to vote? I mean, what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to change things down there. I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to fight for you. That's my favorite line.
Yeah, I'm going to fight for you.
I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to fight for you. Did I say I was going to fight for you?
Fight for you, yes.
I'm going to fight. I'm going to stand up for you. I'm going to stand up for the people. I'm going to create jobs. Government doesn't create jobs. God.
It doesn't.
That's what I like about our podcast. Because every so often, Liam, I want to use a colorful metaphor.
I need a list of colorful metaphors
that Carl approves of that we can use. Because I don't want to mess anybody up here. Colorful metaphors.
We'll make a dictionary of
colorful metaphors. That'd be great.
We'll call it Raposa's Alternatives.
Okay, sounds good. And we can have a continuing soiree as we do, my friend.
I think it's great.
That's right.
But, you know, the thing is that we need to start standing up. And if people are going to get elected and they're going to run for something, I mean, have some
cojones and do the right thing.
Yeah. Well, testicles. I could use the word testicles.
Yeah.
Okay. And in discussing those, maybe testicles that are bigger than BBs. So, you know, we have to start standing up and go in there. But man, if I hear one more person say that I'm going to fight for you and then don't do anything.
Or what have they done?
To get
to that point?
I mean, it's insane.
What have they done to get to that point? If they're going to run for an office, what have they done?
Insane. Put somebody in the Senate who hasn't done anything. Great idea. Oh,
yeah.
Gosh. How much money can I give her?
Yeah. Well, any position.
Any position.
Assembly, Senate, doesn't matter. Any position. Board of Supervisor, if they haven't done anything, haven't put themselves out there, and truly have not done anything and had their voice heard and been out there fighting the fight along with all the other people that are fighting to get this stuff turned around and cleaned up. I mean, how long have we been doing this? We've had this radio show for almost 10 years or around 10 years. So this is what we do. This is how we do it. And not only are we doing it here in Shasta County, we've gone for a number of years throughout the territory of Jefferson, as we like to call it. You know, 23 counties. We've gone there. We spoke with these people. And then we've also gone into Oregon. And into Nevada. We've talked to people there as well. So you can't say that, you know, you've outworked us on any of this stuff because that's what we've been doing forever and just keeping this information out there. If our show wasn't here and Mark and Linda's show wasn't here, what information would you guys be gleaning out of this? You know, for the listeners, where else would you go for this kind of stuff on a local level? There's nothing else out there locally throughout the territory of Jefferson that's doing anything even remotely close to what we're doing.
Media.
Well, now there is.
Now there is.
Podcast
on Mountaintop Media. You can find us on Jefferson State of Mind.
And that's where we are as well, right.
Mm-hmm. You can find us on Jefferson State of Mind on Facebook.
Right.
M-I-N-E, the
Apple
podcast.
Apple and podcast,
yep.
Mm-hmm. Rumble, all the others, yep. And so that's what I'm saying. I'm just putting that challenge out there because there's nothing else out there. Do you count on our local TV station to do that? Are you kidding? Do you count on our local newspaper to put anything out there? Are you kidding? And even the conservative nationally shows that are here locally, the conservative portion or the local portion of that conservative network, do you think they're conservative? I dare say not. So you have to play the game. You have to listen. You have to do your homework. You have to find out what's going on. Get engaged. And when we're talking about, you know, putting programs together and doing all this other stuff, get engaged there. And if you can't physically do something or you're not able to physically do something, throw a dollar at it to help because there's always money needed for every, you know, brochures, rentals of facilities, you name it. There's always money needed to do something. And that's what we do. We put it together for all of us.
And right now, my good friend, time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, Your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.